Welcome to the Strategic Investor. Join us as we interview some of the world's most productive asset managers and uncover sophisticated and unique investment strategies in the markets. Here is your host, Charlie Wright.
Hello and welcome to Strategic Investor Radio on OC Talk Radio, where we bring you investment strategies you are not hearing elsewhere. That is especially true today as we bring on for the very first time Eric Metz, CFA, President and Chief Investment Officer at Spider Rock Advisors. They're specialists in risk mitigation through customized option strategies. He speaks to us from the headquarters in Chicago. Eric, welcome to Strategic Investor Radio.
Thank you, Charlie.
So, Eric, you're out of the University of Michigan with a bachelor and master's degree in industrial engineering. And, in fact, I understand that you also started a PhD program in that. But you began on the floors of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange and the Chicago Board of Options Exchange. You became a senior trader and partner at a couple of firms and then moved over to the investment management side for mutual fund and hedge fund. You've been with Spider Rock now for a few years, and your whole career has been based on options. So give us a brief background of yours, will you?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, as you mentioned, it began in Ann Arbor studying engineering and really derivative kind of as a segue into now my professional career. You know, the allure of the fast-paced trading and intensity of you know, trading financial instruments on the floors, I think, is what brought me to Chicago out of the gate. And then, you know, I've navigated around, a few firms here in town, really kind of cutting my teeth and learning the craft. But more importantly, figuring out how derivatives today can really solve problems in investment portfolios, and that's kind of the genesis of you know, what we're doing here today at Spider Rock Advisors.
Uh-huh. So tell us, Eric, what is it that you know about options that you wish more people knew?
Yeah, you know, so I'd say more often than not, people think options and derivatives, and they think scary Warren Buffett's, you know, coined phrase is weapons of mass destruction. He's actually probably the most prolific user of them, kind of ironically enough. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're not when used properly. And they're very useful tools. And the tools and kind of portfolio construction that people typically use them for, they can solve a lot of, you know, issues or problems that other instruments can't. Plain vanilla equities, plain vanilla fixed income, you know, can't shape the risk-reward profile that, you know, derivatives instruments, you know, can do, and there's a lot of benefit to that.
You know, you keep using the word derivatives. Since 2008, the credit crisis, that's been definitely a four-letter dirty word here. Describe for those who may not be that familiar with options, describe a real conservative option strategy for us, will you?
Yeah, I would say the most ubiquitous and most well known is just a simple covered call. So owning 100 shares of Microsoft and selling, a January 105 strike call, just one simple contract on your 100 shares. A lot of, people, both retail and institutional, view that as a yield play. So bringing in options premium to augment portfolio yield. Others with the same strategy view it as a risk mitigation strategy. So, you know, owning 100 shares of Microsoft is a riskier proposition than owning 100 shares of Microsoft and selling a covered call. So that's probably the most well-known strategy. I think there's a lot of application both, you know, for private wealth portfolios and institutional portfolios alike.
Who invests with you guys and why? Are they big institutions, strictly as a hedging endeavor, or are they, you know, individuals? Who are they?
Yeah, so our clients come in all shapes and sizes, but they are predominantly all institutions, family offices, or financial advisors, so not the end consumer in the kind of construct that you just outlined. So we don't have, a Dr. or Mrs. Smith as a client. We have their financial advisor as a client. We have family offices and you know, pensions, endowments, and foundations, and you know, whatever else is in between.
Okay. And why do they invest with you? Typically to hedge?
Yeah, so I think there's two predominant reasons. One is understanding where derivatives can provide a lot of value for portfolios. Our expertise and kind of consultative nature, allows us to scope that out and then apply these strategies, whether it be for one client or a sequence of 100 or maybe even 1,000 if you're a large advisory practice. But they come in a few buckets. Strategies really reside around hedging, risk mitigation, as you mentioned, yield augmentation. And then I'd say that the last bucket is unique circumstances. So really understanding estate planning and, volatility reduction and the tax implications of all portfolio construction, derivatives and plain vanilla and sophisticated option strategies can aid in that dynamic.
You know, you mentioned volatility 3 to 4 months ago. We had a minor crisis with volatility. One of the exchange-traded products, ETPs, actually went out of business, and there were a significant amount of money that was lost or somehow disappeared. And so tell us a little about what happened with that volatility trade and that ETP, will you?
Yeah, sure. So I know the ETP in the situation fairly well. In the prospectus, it was written that if the VIX were to rise 80% in a day, that they'd have the right to liquidate. And, and rising 80% in nominal terms is a much easier feat if the VIX is starting relatively low. So just to paint the picture from a math perspective, starting at 10 and going to 18 is an easier 80% appreciation than starting at 30 and, going up to 54.
Yeah.
And so that dynamic was inherently in the marketplace as the complacency from 2017 rolled into 2018 and volatility was just historically low. The ETP that you're mentioning is effectively using VIX futures. And so the dynamic here is both around liquidity, but also, the market understood this dynamic and really kind of forced the hand of the players, that were playing in these instruments. And so, while it was a minor, meltdown or crisis, I wouldn't even go that far as to say that. If you're in the seat of, professional options trading or volatility trading, while I would say it was definitely abnormal, it's completely, I would say, understandable. I don't think this was a systematic problem. I think this was very, microscopic in the grand scheme of things, and there were a few events that unfolded that kind of transpired and domino affected this event. But it's understandable as to how.
Okay, well, we appreciate that because I've asked a few people that question, and usually I get these blank stares, and I don't really know how it happened. So we appreciate your being aware of it and understanding it. So are you guys just in the options equity markets? Are you also in the futures markets? Do you do these on commodities or strictly on indexes? Do you do individual stocks? How do you do this?
Sure. So, the core portion of our business is on individual stocks, equity indices, that being the Russell, the NASDAQ, and the S&P 500. We do some work in the fixed income landscape and currency and commodity space, but it's very bespoke in nature. Our core business is around really equities and equity indices.
Okay, in the futures market or just in the regular options market?
The regular listed options market.
Regular listed options market. Okay. So for our listeners who may not be familiar with options, how about a couple of examples? That doesn't need to be one where you made 150%, anything like that. Just give us a couple of examples of clients who came in, what they were trying to do, and kind of what you were able to set up. Not that, you bought a call here and you sold a put there and, all of this stuff, but kind of what you did for them.
Sure. So I think there's two, use cases here that I think would resonate with your listeners. The markets have had a pretty good run since 2008, and putting new capital to work is not a dilemma, but we're in a regime right now where people are a little more hesitant to put new cash to work at nominal highs or close to. Right. And
for
so
good reason,
With that hesitation, with that kind of tepid prudence, I would offer out the following thought. When you're thinking about deploying money into the market. Dollar cost averaging is a pretty well-known methodology. But we often hear from our clients, I would want to own the market if it had a 5% pullback, or I would want to own the market if it had a 10% pullback. And in what time frame is kind of irrelevant. You know, if it happened tomorrow, they would buy it. If it happened in 6 months, the same thing, you know, they would buy it then. So the concept of being paid today, so if I can take your same $100,000 that you're looking to put into the market, I can pay you, call it 3, 4, maybe 5 percent in an annualized fashion to own the market if it were to sell off, right? That concept resonates with a lot of our clients, and I'm assuming a lot of your listeners. And that is a simple cash-secured put strategy. So selling puts, again, comes with a connotation of scary and risky. That strategy in an unlevered capacity, which is the only offering that we have, is less risky than buying the market outright. And so getting paid to wait for the pullback is kind of the, I would say, the layman's way to think about it. But all we're doing is trading listed options to facilitate that concept. And, you know, the demand for that type of plain vanilla strategy from our seat has really had an uptick. You know, more recently, A, because volatility premiums are higher, meaning you're getting paid more than you were in 2017 for the same strategy. So it's an intelligent way to put new cash to work into the markets. I'll kind of shift gears a little bit. And again, market condition related, because of that bull market, a lot of broad-based equity portfolios today are sitting on capital gains. And so, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith that maybe is in retirement that should be in a 60-40 portfolio, but because their stocks have done so well, again, it's a good problem to have, but nonetheless, it's a problem. They're probably overweight. So they could be 70-30. They might even be 80-20. And so the idea of de-risking, again, comes with a tax liability. And so using plain vanilla option strategies, again, we can de-risk. We can make that portfolio feel like 60-40. We can actually bring in more income. We can de-risk some of those equity, you know, exposures, and simultaneously do that all very efficiently without having to pay, you know, whatever embedded capital gains bill that they would have had they gone the kind of incumbent route of selling equities to buy fixed income. So two large use cases that I think, you know, have resonated with our clients. But again, these are very, very market condition dependent, but we are in those market conditions right now.
Okay. Well, we appreciate that. And those are good solid examples. And cash secured puts, seen lots of those and have used them to a certain degree. And no question about it, they can do very good things. And as long as it doesn't fall too far, and then people like you, you've got a crystal ball to keep it from falling too far, right?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I appreciate the vote of confidence, but there's definitely no crystal ball.
So let's talk for just a minute. You obviously have to play. There are two things involved. One is the option, and the other is the underlying position that you're doing the option on, because as you say, these are derivatives. So somebody has to select whether you're using the SPX, SPY, or you're going to use the NASDAQ 100 or oil or gold or something like that. So do you guys pick that, or do you say to the client, do you think gold is going up or down? And the client says whatever they think. And then you say, well, then let's craft a strategy around that. To what degree is the client, or in your case, the institution that you're working with, are they involved in actually selecting the underlying and the expected direction or non-direction?
Yeah, so again, in all kind of client engagements, we do have both flavors. But I would say the larger use case for our business is people are coming to us with portfolios, already pre-made portfolios, equities, bonds, sometimes commodities, sometimes alternatives, private investments, et cetera. And they're saying, here's my ball of wax. This is what I'm trying to solve for. How can you, SpiderRock Advisors, with all that you guys do, aid in making this portfolio, you know, a better risk-reward profile for me or for my client? And, you know, we've built a lot of systems, a lot of engineering to assess portfolio risks, understand where they inherently reside, and then map that to a strategy that we have. And then we can show graphs and charts and illustrations as to why our risk-reward profile should be perceived. And then, you know, again, talk about what risks we're identifying and how derivatives or how option strategies can solve some of these problems, whether it be idiosyncratic risk because you have too much in one stock, whether it be because it's outperformed over the last 20 years that you've held it, or whether because you've inherited it, or whether because you may have worked the company for 25 years and have just amassed a lot of your wealth in a security, right? That's probably one of our larger use cases. Again, the suitability test comes back and you want to be 60-40, but you're sitting on 80% equities right now. Again, it triggers it. Our systems are alerting us to this. And it identifies, the strategy that we would want to attack this problem with. And then we can, again, articulate that through, data and charts and illustrations as to, the benefits and the pros and cons of doing these strategies.
So tell us, you're in the world of investments, although it is a little different focus. Before I get to that, there's another question I had. 2008 credit crisis again. It made the general public aware of derivatives that really got a dirty name. Okay, swaps and other things like that. So, do you guys get involved in those other typically more advanced derivatives, or do you strictly stay with options?
Yeah. So myself and the investment team here has a background in a lot of these instruments. I would say our current offering doesn't use any of those. But remember, with all things in the credit crisis, and today is no different, the leverage component is really the ultimate deciding factor of whether these things cause issues or help solve problems, right? And so the credit crisis was a leverage problem. We don't offer any leverage in any of our instruments and any of our strategies. So one of the things, we are stewards of capital and prudent risk management professionals. And so the number one component in that is, assessing the leverage equation. And so more often than not, in almost all of our client engagements, we are starting with a no leverage strategy. So again, it alleviates a lot of the issues that really come to mind when you hear the word derivatives.
Hey, well, thank you. That was good to hear and certainly comforting to your clients, I'm sure. So tell us, you've heard lots of advice, and you've given lots of advice, I'm sure, on investing. What's the best advice you've ever heard, read, or received about investing?
Protect your capital. If you go to zero, you can't get it back. Compounding returns, do a lot of heavy lifting in the long run. And so one of the things here, and one of the kind of philosophies that we have, is that risk management needs to be the focal point of your portfolio construction, not an afterthought. And that comes in a few formats. And, volatility actually, when used properly can be an asset of yours, but understanding how to use that is sometimes difficult. And so derivatives and options and the strategies that we perform for our clients really have a risk management focus. And volatility reduction happens to be one of the better techniques that can often improve risk-adjusted returns. The geometric compounding of mass, if a stock goes down 25%, it has to appreciate 33% to get back to even. So that negative compounding that you see there when a loss is incurred needs to be minimized. So those two kind of pieces of advice: A, don't lose your capital, but B, let the compounding returns do a lot of your long-term heavy lifting. Those are core theses that, we really kind of, practice what we preach.
Yeah, and today that needs to be told. That's a story that needs to be told, right? Because people are believing that, too many people are believing that stocks just go up, right? And that many are not looking at the downside that they should be. So a question we'd like to ask all of our guests here, Eric: what keeps you awake at night?
Yeah, so, I think the world has definitely changed since the global financial crisis. Quantitative easing here, while it was, I would argue, successful in a lot of capacities, definitely has some downside repercussions. I think I won't call it irrational exuberance, to coin a former Fed chairman, but the idea that stocks only go one direction, there's some reasons as to why they've really performed in the last, call it, decade. And so if you kind of remove some of the rocket fuel and quantitative easing, it does change the landscape. So again, coming back to risk management and kind of where we are today in the cycle, valuations are sometimes objective, but can be argued, and money can be invested in somewhat of a subjective fashion. So without getting into valuation debate, without getting into kind of what's changing fundamentally today versus 2 years ago and 2 years looking forward, I would just kind of reiterate that, let's not take equity markets and bull markets for granted. And it's been a very fortuitous run for those that have been invested, to really put that back in kind of, I would say the focal point of financial planning.
Okay, we appreciate that. And the second question we'd like to ask all of our guests, what book on investing would you recommend for our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, where I sit, I think the crisis in 2008, really opened a lot of eyes. On the Brink is a book that, I got my hands on, when it was released. It's essentially the story, from Hank Paulson's seat and all the moving, players, that really came together to try to figure out, A, how to stem the bleeding and solve the issues at hand. But it was very eye-opening to have that kind of, insight.
Okay, thank you. On the Brink. Okay, very good. So your website and contact information for those who would like to know more here, Eric?
Yeah, sure. So the website is www.SpiderRockAdvisors, all one word, .com. My contact information can be actually found on the website.
Very good. So final words for our listeners.
Yeah, I appreciate, Charlie, you having me on the show. One of the things that we've found since we've started this business is that the strategies that we perform, are not as well known as I think they should be. There's a few reasons. Historically, they haven't necessarily always been accessible. They've often had high minimums through, I would say, a competitive advantage of ours in our technology footprint. We are able to effectively democratize these strategies that historically had high minimums and give access to, a large private wealth community. Don't be intimidated by the words of options or derivatives. That's why we're here. We are the fiduciary in that domain. And now effectively, because we don't really have a threshold or a minimum, any financial advisor can effectively have access to us. It's kind of one of our more, I would say, altruistic components here is to really bring risk management to the masses. So that is definitely kind of one of the themes that we're trying to convey to the community.
Well, Eric, certainly risk management is a mantra that we all need to pay more attention to these days, so it's a worthy cause. So our best wishes to you and to the firm, Spider Rock Advisors, for your continued success in getting the work out and bringing in the clients and protecting those assets. And thank you very much for joining us today, and our best wishes for your continued success.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Charlie.
Again, we've been talking with Eric Metz, CFA, President and Chief Investment Officer of Spider Rock Advisors, out of Chicago, specialists in risk mitigation through customized option strategies. I'm Charlie Wright. You've been listening to Strategic Investor Radio on OC Talk Radio. We'd love to have you contact us at info@strategicinvestorradio.com and go to our website to hear podcasts of all of our interviews and shows, strategicinvestorradio.com. We're wishing you an enjoyable week and productive investing.
Strategic Investor Radio is a production of OC Talk Radio and is provided for educational purposes only. Content of this program and the views of the guests should not be considered as recommendations by OC Talk Radio or investment advice from the host Charlie Wright or any other entity attached to this production. Investors should always consult qualified financial, investment, tax, or legal professionals prior to investing.